Hello, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris. I live in Sheffield, a long time now, and I'm involved with various environmental and political campaigns.
Mm-hmm. And could you name one or two of them? I know the environment and all that is really a big part of your life.
I think one of the most positive networks I'm involved with is the Transition Network, and that's trying to address the challenges of peak oil and climate change. Peak oil is the fact that we're about to kind of reach global peak oil production, and following it peaking, it's going to go into decline, and that's going to mean more and more expensive oil, more and more scarce oil, and that's basically going to have a huge economic impact. And there are some people actually that argue that the whole kind of economic collapse that's going on now is basically a result of fundamentally of peak oil, and I've got some sympathy with that analysis.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking at people, do you get frustrated that they're maybe not interested and don't want to know or don't care about the planet, or do they think it's a lot of bunkum?
It's a mixture. I mean, there's a lot of people I talk to do care, and I mean, the people I talk to, it's usually just, you know, local families in the park and things like that, or, you know, most people do actually seem to care. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just looking at you. When I was talking to you earlier on about the youth bring a lot of change, and you're a young man. So where did your interest come from? Was it self-induced?
Well, I don't think I'm that young. Going grey and bald. where did my interest in it come from? In the last decade, the thing that got me most involved in politics was the wars and the anti-war movement. And so, kind of following September the 11th, I got really involved in the anti-war movement in Sheffield, and it was following kind of that I got involved in kind of more green politics and kind of other kind of politics, environmental politics and direct action. I mean, I think that basically the politicians aren't listening, the corporations aren't listening, and lobbying and petitioning is just not working. And I think what people need to do is actually need to start taking kind of direct action. And I think there's a lot of lessons from the kind of the whole history of non-violent direct action that needs to be learned. And if I was recently at a meeting just south of south of Chesterfield, which is south of Sheffield, about a proposal for a big open cast coal mine where they're basically just a whole hilltop is going to be basically kind of dug up in order to get use big mechanical diggers to get the coal out. And there's an awful lot of people there are concerned about it, it's an early stage. They're going to start by kind of lobbying and petitioning and things like that. But my first reaction was, well, you know, let's set up a big camp on the site and set up a big, you know, protest and just say, no, we're just not going to let this environment get destroyed and this carbon get dug up, because it's going to be really bad for the schools locally and the families living locally. And it's also just, this coal needs to be left in the ground. You know, we've burnt too much already.
And from what you see, and you're on the internet a lot and a lot of websites, is it a worldwide problem, and it's the same reaction from all the governments? Is there anybody out there that's showing any initiative across the world, across Europe at all?
No, I mean, the only hope seems to be coming from the grassroots. There doesn't seem to be any hope coming from the governments or corporations at all, really.
And finally, you have a website that you'd like people to look up if you want more information.
I think the best introductory kind of thing to the overall big picture is a film called The Crisis of Civilization that's available to download for free and watch online at crisisofcivilization.com. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good starting point if you want to get your head around peak oil, climate change, war, and get a kind of feeling. transitionnetwork.org is the main kind of global site for the Transition Network, and they're doing a kind of a lot of positive stuff, and those are the two that spring to mind.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris.
It's all right.
Now I'm talking to Patrice, and tell me what radio station you have too, I believe.
I am from Radio Pluriel, a radio in the city near Lyon. Lyon, in Saint-Priest, and another one, which is a country radio station in Saint-Julien-Molin-Molette. It's a village near Lyon, and rural areas are very important for radio stations.
And how long have you been involved with community radio?
30 years. 30 years, yes.
It's a long time, yeah. So yes. You must be amazed at the advancement of commercial or community radio in those 30 years.
Yes, yes, it's very important because at the beginning we didn't know how to work. We wanted to. We had very important motivation, but we couldn't record everywhere. We couldn't share programs, and now we learned how to be good journalists. We hope so, and so we found some fundings. We learned to work together, to share some things with other interested people, and I think this is very interesting that we gained the trust of people we that hear us, hear our radio stations, but especially the trust of people who are for the first time talking in the radios, because thousands of people talked in the radio, in the microphone, for the first time in our radio stations. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, they are afraid, they are frightened by this thing. They're not the habit of it. And then they discover that they have very interesting things to tell. And we must gain this trust, because it's not obvious. People waiting what will they do with what we would say, will they transform our speech? We gained trust. Okay.
And as far as maybe if we go back a little bit earlier with the authorities and that, what sort of encouragement and funding was it hard to come by? Did it take you a long time when you proposed a license and all that in the early days?
First time licenses were given after François Mitterrand went to the government, to the president of French Republic. All the radio stations were associative. Mm-hmm. And then the commercial radio stations wanted to make publicity, to make big money in this area. And then all the time, maybe we conserve. We had licenses for our community stations. Mm-hmm. And that's all right today. But with the digitalization of radio stations, which is now on the verge to be developed, we have another struggle to have, because the commercial radio station would be interested in avoiding
you being successful.
Yes. So we have two struggles then.
You've seemed to, I'm not saying it ever went away, but your enthusiasm seems to be getting stronger all the time, and you were very animated at the meeting this morning. What excited you about some of the things that were said this morning?
Yes, we have in a very important time for all the people in all over the world, because the environmental goals are very important, and most of people begin to understand that. So we have important change, cultural, social, economic changes to be made, and in this movement, the exchanges, the possibility of giving words, not even to dominant economic forces, is a very important thing. So our little, our small media are important because most of the important media in France, especially, are in the hands of economic important forces, and we are small, but we have some power, and in this context, I think we have an important responsibility.
A small voice making a loud noise.
Yes, it's okay. Possible. And the electronic, the web possibilities are very important in the development of this possibility. Yes.
Well, congratulations on the two stations that you continue to, and as I said, your enthusiasm hasn't diminished in any way, but thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm talking to Miquel from Radio Cultura in Spain. Good morning. How are you, Miquel?
Well, and you answer first. It's not Spain. It's the Basque Country.
The Basque Country. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Tell me about the radio station and how it was formed and what it's all about.
Yeah, we are situated in the French part of the Basque Country. So this is a radio that was born because in this area lives something like 300,000 people, and in three regions, with one main city, it's Bayonne, near Biarritz, where lives 50,000 people. So it's not a very big city's area, it's very rural. And most of the radio stations that were broadcasting, that are broadcasting there, are in French and some other in Basque languages. But we noticed that there were not a good relation between the French population that doesn't understand the Basque languages and the even the Basque medias who not show what they do and what are their philosophy to this French population. So that's why we try to improve media that are in both languages, in French and Basque, with two main aims. One is to improve the Basque language. For us, it's a very important thing because it's the oldest language in Europe, and we think that it's very important for the own improvement and whatever. And another thing is that we wanted also to show what is the Basque Country in all his territory, not only in the French part, but only also in the Spain. In the Spanish part, so all the Basque Country, the history, the culture, the identity, the traditions. So to show what happens and what have been the Basque history and the Basque identity to all the people living there. So not only for the French community, but also for the Basque community. So
you're enhancing it. Had it been in decline in any way?
Going down.
The interest had it been in decline, going down. So you're enhancing it, bring it back into the limelight.
Yeah,
the language, and the culture.
Yeah. The language, actually, in the north of the Basque Country, so in the French side, it's speaked by maybe 15,000 or maybe 20,000. No, excuse me, 15% of 20% of the people. So it's not much. In the Spanish side, it's more because now it's official language. So in all the schools, they teach in Basque. So in the north, it's in real danger, and that's why we managed to work with another. There are a lot of community organizations in that they try to improve that. So we wanted to bring our little stone to this improvement.
I think you're being a bit modest there, because I think it has had an impact. Hasn't it had an impact? And you're getting loads of people interested.
Yeah, we have a little impact. Now, in the last years, we noticed that all the people living, even if they don't have any knowledge about Basque language or about the Basque identity, they have interests. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, they didn't even care. Now, they think that it's a very good way to be more rich in your health and in your intelligence.
Okay, and it's great to the extent that something unusual about it, they were telling me earlier, that you just broadcast on the internet.
Yeah, we tried to have a frequency, FM frequency, but that was nearly impossible. We tried twice, and it was nearly impossible. So that's why we say, why not by internet? And so we started 6.5 years ago, and we can notice that our project was very well received, even for different kind of population. So it's received like a very well or very good thing.
Mm-hmm. And you've had reaction globally as well. I mean, you've had people listening to you on the internet who are interested in the language and the culture who are reacting to the programs as well.
Yeah. Of course, most of our listeners are from the area, from the Basque, northern Basque country, but we have listeners also from the southern Basque country, and like it's by internet and the Basque diaspora all over the world is very important. Some people they say that there are more Basque people living outside from the Basque country than inside. So we have many listeners from all over France, Spain, or United States, or Canada, or even South America, and sometimes all over the world.
So in your travels, when you're meeting different people from different community radio stations, and if you knew there was a section of people living in that country, say for Ireland, for instance, if you found a good section of the people that are from the Basque country living in Ireland and you came to Near FM, would you encourage them to maybe have a program about the Basque language and culture?
Well, I didn't notice that, for example, in Ireland, even if I know that there are some Basque people, whatever, but there are some countries where you have a Basque community organization, mm-hmm. And there are most of them, for example, in North and South America, where in each big city you have an organization where the people meet and they try to make some conference and some festivities and whatever, not all over the world. In my travels and the meetings with all over the community radio stations, I had not taken time to try to meet these Basque communities.
Okay. Now, finally, you have it on the internet. It's very successful. But would you like to see it localized as well and have a station that's on the ground, transmitting on the ground? And what are the hopes for that?
Yeah, I will. We're trying that, and the last years also. Last year we make a project and we present the project, but it was refused. But so yes, for us it would be very important because actually the broadcasting by air have more impact than by internet, even if internet is more and more used. But I think it's very important, and even actually to have a broadcasting by air. It's like, many people, they think that internet will change everything and some medias will disappear and whatever. But we have to think about, for example, when the television started, many people say, now we have, it's like radio, but with pictures. So yes, radio doesn't have any sense, doesn't make any sense more. And, 80 years after, or I don't know how many years, but there are still doing and doing very well. So I think that one media doesn't mean that the other medias have to disappear. Internet will have its place, but the community on-air broadcasting medias will also have their own future, I'm sure.
Okay, well, I think with your enthusiasm and that's going to become in a very, very short time back home. And congratulations and good luck with it. Thank you very much, Miguel.
Thanks to you.
Okay, that was the last of the interviews from Noel McGuinness, talking from Sheffield there.